I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. Want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Last year, I spent more money on spilled liquor in bars from one side of this world to the other than you made.
It's time for Dirt and Sprague.
You talking to the Rolex-wearing, diamond ring-wearing, gift-stealing,
woo! With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
Wheeling-dealing, limousine-wrecked, jet-flying, son of a gun.
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
And I'm having a hard time holding these alligators down.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in hour number two here on Portland Sports Leader, 1080 The Fan. Dirt and Sprague, you'll be hanging out this Monday. Somebody said the attendance at the Oregon State game wasn't very good. That true?
For the angles I saw on TV, I mean, it wasn't sold out, but
whoever was there didn't stick around very long.
Yeah, I had a couple of buddies that were there. They left after the first quarter.
Yeah, somebody was like, do you know if the Beaver fans left at the end of that Utah game before it was over? I said, yeah. Did you see the score?
I actually had one of those moments as a fan when Utah beat Oregon like 62-20 at Autzen like 4 years ago. And for some dumb reason, I sat through the entire thing. And I was like, why am I still here? But then it was, the only people left in your section by the time it gets to 62-20 in the fourth quarter.
I've had good and bad moments. I went to the Husky blowout against Oregon a few years ago when they won 70. I was there for the entire thing.
Yeah.
And then I also left the Husky Oregon State game at Reser at halftime because it was 42.
Yeah.
No, it was the third quarter. 42-0.
That way, why am I hanging out
they're
here?
They're not, no chance of coming back. Why would I stick here and hang out in traffic? So we have a lot to get to here in the second hour. We're going to lead it, though, as we do every Monday at 1 o'clock with our NFL Whip Around.
Frozen Tundra.
Wow, it's pretty energetic. How about them Cowboys, given your team sucks and your owner likes your coach?
Screw you, Cowboys.
Hasn't won anything in a decade plus, and yet he's still the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. It's unreal.
It's a good clapper.
He's got to have pictures on Jared Jones. Let's start with the London game, huh? Did we wake up and have our tea and biscuits?
No.
You didn't watch this game?
Nope, I did not.
I did. I rolled. For some reason, I woke up early.
You're a good man, Swigard.
Rolled over.
Yep.
Got me some Rich Eisen.
Yes, you did. And he called this Kyle Allen play.
Season sweep at the hands of and split it with Carolina, with Tampa. Second and 12. Here's Allen for the end zone. And it winds up with the touchdown. Curtis Samuel.
Yep, Rich Eisen, the NFL Network. I actually thought Rich and Kurt Warner should be Monday Night Football crew. That was my biggest takeaway from that game.
I'd be cool with that.
The Panthers have won 4 games in a row since Cam Newton left with his injury. And I know the story is all about Kyle Allen. The story should be Christian McCaffrey is having an MVP season, but he won't win because he doesn't play quarterback. And the Carolina Panthers defense is really stepping up. Yeah. I like that pick a lot, even though it was only 2.5. The Panthers just, they've got talent. This was a team I thought could go to the Super Bowl if Cam was healthy. He wasn't. Bad start. They're playing good football right now.
Yeah, I mean, you're going to get to the point, too, where Cam Newton eventually is going to be healthy enough. And I genuinely ask the question, why would you put him back in there? Kyle Allen's playing good football. Now, he's not the only reason they're winning. I think the reason they're winning is what you highlighted, their defense. But Kyle Allen's playing good enough to get wins. I mean, Jameis Winston threw 5 picks in this game. Those are the only highlights I saw. It's amazing. I saw the box score that McCaffrey had 31 rushing yards on 22 carries. I thought, what the hell? How did Carolina win 37-26? Ah, Jameis Winston threw 5 interceptions.
Yeah, that helped a lot with them. They win 37-26. Let's go to the next game. This one, not very entertaining, and that was Cincinnati visiting Baltimore.
Cardin is the fullback, first and goal. Ingram carves his touchdown run right there, the 7th of the season for Ingram from a yard away, and Baltimore has taken their first lead.
Kevin Harlan on the call, CBS Sports. Yes, Cincinnati goes into Baltimore. They were down 23-10 until very late when Andy the Red Rifle Dalton ran it in. And everybody that took Cincinnati plus 11 shouted hooray.
Woo!
Baltimore gets the easy win. All right, the Saints headed down to Florida, and a lot of people thought the Jags could be pulling an upset here.
He's going to throw for it. Pulls it down, now throws, end zone, caught in a touchdown. Jared Cook. And the Saints put the first touchdown of the day on the board.
Greg Gumbel, CBS Sports there. Yes, it was the only touchdown of the day as Teddy Bridgewater hooks up with Jared Cook. The Saints went 13-6 against the Jags. Minshew had a rough day.
Made him look like a rookie. Another team that's winning with defense. And, man, what an incredible run they've been on. And now they're just waiting for Drew Brees to get back to put it all together.
Let's go to Cleveland, where I was pissed off about 8 different times watching this one.
Carson gets the handoff inside, and he's in easily. Touchdown, Seahawks, for Chris Carson. It took one extra play, but a nice big hole right behind his center, Justin Britt, and the Seahawks go back on top, 31-28.
Yes, Steve Rabel heard here on The Fan. We're home with the Seahawks every week. You can hear the Seahawks game. They win 32-28. Look, Russell Wilson was really good in this game.
Yes,
if you watched it, though, Cleveland should have won this game going away. They talk about a choke job. They were up 20-6.
20-6 in the second quarter.
And they, you know, Nick Chubb's averaging 5.8 yards per carry, but Freddie Kitchens has to dial up a Baker Mayfield throw.
You sound like somebody who gambled on the Browns.
I did. I took the Browns plus the 2. Look, a couple of those picks were not great throws, but they were also just tipped by the wide receivers through their hands.
Yeah.
And right into the hands of the Seahawks. They get a big win on the road. A road win is a road win, and the Seahawks win 32-28. Let's go to Kansas City, where we got ourselves a great game between the Texans and the Chiefs.
Fake the give. Watson has options here. Watson, the shake and bake, the twirl for the touchdown. Deshaun Watson puts the Texans in front.
Another reason I'm a moron, I loved this line as well. The Texans were 4-point dogs going into Kansas City. Iron Eagle on the call there, and they win outright 31-24. A lot of people didn't think the Chiefs could lose 2 games in a row.
Myself included.
They've got real problems going on in Kansas City, I'm telling you.
They can't run the football and they can't stop the run. That's not a good combination in the NFL. You can be Patrick Mahomes all you want, but if you can't run the football or stop it, you're going to have a hard time winning games, and that's exactly what happened. Talk about another blown lead, too. They were up 17-3 at the end of the first quarter.
Yep.
Tyreek Hill had one of the more incredible catches I've ever seen. You thought, here are the Chiefs, they're back. Only scored 7 points the rest of the game.
Let's go to Miami, where the race for Tua, the tanking for Tua battle between Washington and Miami took hold, and somehow Washington won this game.
Hit him with time, throwing wide open, touchdown McLaurin, his second of the game.
Sam Rosen, Fox Sports. I've never heard an interview or even seen what Sam Rosen looks like. Sam Rosen deserves a medal.
Yes,
because
he does.
Every time they checked in on this game on the Red Zone channel, he sounded like he was calling the biggest game of the weekend. And maybe he was, depending on
who gets Tua. Sam is a veteran.
He's a vet, baby.
Well, he didn't sound like a veteran that was forced to do this game. He sounded like a veteran who loves his job. Washington gets the win. Miami scored real late.
They did.
They went for the win, and it was a terrible last play call. Fitzpatrick replaced Rosen.
Did the GM call down, you think, in that moment and say, go for 2 and don't get it?
Well, I was glad they went for 2. I loved it. I didn't want to go to overtime.
You don't want overtime, although if you went to overtime, there was a great chance that game ends in a tie, which would have been perfect for the two teams playing.
Now Dolphins need that number one pick.
The Dolphins won. Let's be honest. The Dolphins won that game. This whole thing is a tank, and it's not worth it if you end up with the number 3 pick. They need the number 1 pick, so the Dolphins were the big winners yesterday.
All right, speaking of big winners, how about your boy Kirkers against the Eagles?
In a game all season. Cousins, first down, going deep for Diggs. He makes the catch. Stephon Diggs, touchdown.
I think that should be a t-shirt, deep for Diggs. Could mean so many different things.
Those wide receivers going to shut their mouths now. You like that? Kirkers, wow. Dropping dimes all over the field.
Kenny Albert on the call, Fox Sports. Minnesota beats the crap out of the Philadelphia Eagles yesterday, 38-20. Kirkers with 4 touchdown passes, 300-plus yards yet again. He was 22-29. Stephon Diggs had 3 touchdowns. He could have had 5. And maybe they should keep calling him out, because since they've done that, they've played really good football. And I don't believe it's going to happen.
Sure.
But I'll tell you right now, and it's make you feel good.
Let's go.
If that Kirker shows up, Minnesota can win the Super Bowl.
I just have one question for you guys. You like that?
I did like that.
You like that?
How do you like me now?
But I kind of didn't because I took the Eagles on my NFL picks against the spread. All right, let's move on from Minnesota. Let's go to Denver, where it was not a good day for the Titans and Marcus Mariota.
4th and 11. Tannehill. Keeping it alive. Now throws. Picked off. Kareem Jackson. Jackson is on the return and down at the 26-yard line, and that will do it.
Andrew Catalone of CBS Sports on the call there. Yeah, and that wasn't even Mariota. Mariota was benched for Tannehill.
He threw two picks before that.
Who then came in, and Tannehill sucked too. Somebody asked Mike Vrabel why Marcus has gotten worse since he became the head coach. He said, this is sarcastically, he said, I don't know. Maybe it's because I'm not a good coach. Just an ugly-ass game if you're a Titans fan. We'll talk more about Marcus probably tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because they also did something on social media. Let's go to Arizona, where the Falcons are fighting for their season, and it didn't end well.
Murray rolled it, got it wide open. Come back the other way, and wide open is right. Max Williams, touchdown.
Yeah, Tom Brenneman on the call, Fox Sports. Arizona gets the win over the Atlanta Falcons. I'm surprised Dan Quinn hasn't been fired yet. The Cardinals win 34-33.
Has Matt Bryant been fired yet?
Well, Matt, that was his first missed field goal of the season.
Extra point.
Extra point, yeah.
I think he's perfect for the year as a kicker.
They also, they gave up 34 points to the Arizona Cardinals, yeah. So that's why you lost.
Hope you guys took my over pick. That was the only thing I did well this weekend. All right, let's move on from that game and go to the Meadowlands, where Dirt Survivor Pool pick of the Cowboys was ended.
Big to Belt, go deep. Anderson's out there. This is going to go the distance. 92 yards. Darnold, Anderson.
Jim Nance on the call, CBS Sports. Sam Darnold hooks up with Robbie Anderson for 92 yards, and the Jets beat the Cowboys 24-22. And no, Jason Garrett is still the head coach of the Cowboys. He has not been fired.
Hey, good job, guys. Good job.
Hey, just keep back. Game plan's this. A lot of this.
Good segment. Good segment.
All right. We got two more cuts to get to on the NFL web round. Let's go to L.A. where, boy, the Niners made a statement yesterday.
Line up for San Francisco. And here is Tevin Coleman. Gets tripped up but dives in. Touchdown, 49ers.
Dick Stockton on the call, Fox Sports. The Niners just pummel the Rams 20-7. That defense was lights out. Jared Goff held under 100 yards passing.
How is that possible?
You know what he did the 2 weeks prior? Combined, he threw for 900 yards 2 weeks before. They held him under 100 yards. And finally, I hope you guys watched the baseball game because this Sunday night game sucked.
Had the ball for 9 minutes. 3rd and 8. Flip it out. Caught. Another broken tackle. And all the way into the end zone goes Connor.
Al Michaels, NBC Sports.
The Chargers are an embarrassment. They're an embarrassment to the National Football League.
They're not good.
They play in an MLS stadium that was a home game for the Steelers with terrible towels. Like that. You understand it in other sports because it's not the National Football. It's just the NFL. Like it's supposed to be the king of the king. And that's the environment that you have? They're a joke.
I have a quick question for you, and then we're going to break. I came up with this over the weekend. Let me know if you disagree. Jason Garrett is to the NFL that Willie Taggart is to college football.
I don't know who that's more disrespectful to.
You can't pick one because they're the same person in different leagues.
I'm trying to figure that out.
Tell me how Jason Garrett earned being the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. And then also ask yourself the same question.
How did he earn being the head coach of Florida
State? Willie Taggart, Florida State. You can noodle on that. We don't have to talk about that next. I do want to talk about the Niners.
Okay, let's do it.
The Niners have been playing great football. They're 5-0 for the first time since 1990. The NFC West looks stacked. Let's talk about that next on The Fan. I called Jason Garrett the Willie Taggart of the NFL. And someone says, well, at least Garrett's been loyal to the Cowboys.
I think it's because there's been no offers for him.
Because nobody wants to hire him as a coach. Yeah.
And to be fair, too, that's one of the premier coaching jobs in the NFL.
I can't.
Right? Like the Browns
there's no
come
moving
calling.
Up. It's not like. Yeah.
Right.
It wasn't like he chose the Chargers over the Cowboys, right?
Yeah. Vrabel's going to get fired.
I hate to tell a Duck fan this, but the Cowboys are more the Florida State and Oregon is the Chargers of the world or whatever.
For sure.
But, how about the 49ers, man?
How about those 49ers? You got your 49er underwear on today?
I do not.
Didn't wear them? 49er thong, didn't wear it?
No, I didn't feel like it was time for the G-string or the thong.
Wait a few more weeks.
Yeah, I don't... This is a weird thing. I think the 49ers are a really good football team. I don't know if you should dive all the way in yet. Here's what I keep
reminding. I'm diving all the way in on that defense. I think that defense is...
Hold on. Bear with me here. I think from time to time, what we need to be learning as sports fans are things we do not learn. Every single year we do this. Hey, they look good. They're going to be good this year. 2 weeks later, they're not that good. If you told me after their third win of the season, the Cowboys, 3-0.
Sure.
That they were going to lose their next three games and look pitiful.
Be 3-3.
I would have laughed in your face.
Yeah.
Everybody on the text line would have laughed in your face. That's the thing is the Niners do look good today. I'm not even arguing that. Their defense looks like one of the best units in the NFL behind the Patriots. Their offense is playing well. Not extraordinary, but playing well. They're clicking. Shanahan, I think, is dialing up the right play calls in the right time. And they've also been the beneficiaries of keeping most of their key guys healthy. I know Kittle's battling an injury. I know their two tackles are out. I
mean, Kittle ended up having over 100 yards yesterday.
Kittle was a beast. He had that good long play. Brady has been good. Again, I know they're still battling some. But I'm not going to say week five, it's a done deal. The Niners are the best team in the NFC. We have so much more football to play. They have 11 more games.
Yeah, you're not even at the halfway point yet.
So my brother calls me. He's like, dude, your team, man. I'm like, don't even start. The Niners look good.
Sure.
Let's pump the brakes a little bit. But boy, have they surprised the NFL.
Well, I think the Swigart mentioned the thing that you love about them is the way they're playing defensively. And we know in the NFL, when you got a defense like that, you don't have to do a ton on offense. You just got to be above average and you're going to win a lot of football games. And the Cowboy example is a good one. And we are a show that is an example of a crew that got over their skis on the Cowboys because we asked the question when they were 3-0, like, are they the best team in the NFC? They look different on offense. They were pushing the ball down the field. Like, we were loving what we were seeing from the Cowboys. And it has all come crashing down, and they played, you know, really inconsistent and bad football the last couple of weeks. The thing that I'll say, though, now that to me is the difference between the 49ers and the Cowboys, one, it's two more games, so at least you got that benefit of the doubt over the Cowboys. It's at 5-0, not 3-0. I was where you were at on Tuesday. When they beat the Browns on Monday Night Football, the kind of rush to an answer was, this team's legit, they're for real, let's crown them, look how good they're playing. And you couldn't take anything away from them because the schedule was made before the season and you have no control over who you play week in and week out. My only criticism was, can you go do it against a legitimate opponent? And that's where the Cowboys have fallen flat. They went into New Orleans, clearly a good football team. They struggled and they lost, 12-7, whatever the final score was. They lost the next week to the Green Bay Packers, who are a good football team. So for the 49ers, this week was the prove-it week for me. Can you take the overreaction from everybody? Can you handle everybody telling you how good you are? A marquee win on a Monday night, turn around on a short week, go to Los Angeles, and play a Rams team that is refreshed and coming off a Thursday night performance the week before. Like, they were ready to go. McVay's numbers, when he's had extra time to prepare for teams, were lights out. I gave it on Friday. He's 11-1, or was 11-1 when you gave him additional time to prepare for an opponent. The only loss was in the Super Bowl to Belichick and the Patriots. Everybody was on the Rams, and the 49ers came in and shut everybody up. It wasn't just a dominant defense. It was a lights out. Like, to have 70 passing yards as Jared Goff or Sick, whatever the hell he ended up with, that's unheard of for a Sean McVay offense. So that's where, like, I'm buying in. They have a defense that is going to keep them in every single game. They now have a three-game lead over the Rams in the NFC West, or a two-game lead, whatever it is. That's wild. And you look at their next three opponents, again, as with the Cowboys, like, you don't want to chalk them all up easily as wins. You got Washington this week. Then you're at home against...
That's a win. I mean, right? They're beating Washington.
Then
they're
not
losing.
You're at home against Carolina. Well, I know Carolina's playing good, but we'll see. But you get them at home, and then you get the Cardinals.
That's a win.
You have a legitimate chance going into your Seattle Monday night game to be 8-0.
8-0, 7-1, yeah. Right.
I want to see him against the Panthers squad who's got... They're multidimensional.
I think Niners are actually geared to stop Carolina's plan of attack more so than some other NFC teams. Because Carolina's offense is going to be Christian McCaffrey.
Sure.
So unlike Tampa, who trips all over themselves on a regular basis.
They threw five picks in that game. That's why they lost.
Right. Yeah. They also had a muff punt at the end there because they were fighting back. Like they made some key mistakes. I think the Niners defensively have the playmakers to really slow up and confuse Carolina. We'll see. Are the Niners the best team in the division, though? Because the Seattle Seahawks are sitting there at 5-1 as well, going, hey, guys, we've had some road wins here. We've taken care of business against the Rams as well.
Man. Yeah, I would say the roster is the best roster in the NFC West. The wild card is they don't have the MVP on their team.
The Seahawks have the best roster?
No, I'm saying the 49ers have the... I think the 49ers have a better roster than the Seattle Seahawks.
And they don't have the MVP because Russell Wilson is the MVP.
So that's the wild card. And that's why I can't wait for that Monday night game when you get Russell Wilson, his ability to scramble and extend plays going against that 49er pass rush.
Yeah.
But that 49er defense is legitimate, man. You go back-to-back weeks in the NFL and only allow 10 points and do what they did to Sean McVay. Sean McVay is the boy wonder of the National Football League. And they made the Rams look like a football team, you know, hit a time travel machine. It was from the 1960s trying to figure out 2019 NFL football.
McVay looked confused yesterday.
He didn't know what the hell was coming
at
him.
Several times.
And Jared Goff was uncomfortable. Yep. He was rushing throws. He made mistakes.
It sounds like finally drafting a defensive lineman for like five straight drafts has finally paid off because they showed him on the screen. It was Bosa. It was Solomon Thomas. It was Buckner.
Armstead.
Armstead was in on there. He got a sack. You just saw all those guys on the line and you go, first round, second pick, first round, third pick, first round, second pick, first round, third. You just looked at him and you said, wow, all of these dudes are clicking right now. And it's actually making the 49ers look very smart for drafting consecutive defensive linemen with their first picks the last few years.
I think I'm going to put the 49ers in a similar category as another team, and that is Green Bay. And I think the exciting part about both those teams right now, and we'll see how Green Bay does tonight at home. I know they've had their issues the last couple of years against the Lions, but I think a lot of that has been Aaron Rodgers either out or missing time, or banged up. The thing that both of them have going for them is they're winning games, and the offense hasn't really clicked yet. Like, I know they've had some explosive plays. Kittle's good. They had the long run against the Browns. Like, they've had their moments.
The Brown game was probably their best offense.
Probably their best offense. But that was mostly even just running the football. It wasn't like Garoppolo did a ton. To be fair, he didn't have to because of the way they played defense and they ran the football. That, to me, is a major encouragement.
Oh, no. Cincinnati would have been.
They destroyed Cincinnati. But you're winning games just leaning on your defense and doing enough offensively. And I trust Aaron Rodgers and I trust Kyle Shanahan to eventually get more complete on that side of the football. That's the scariest.
Aaron Rodgers?
Well, Aaron Rodgers, I know he hasn't played great this year at times. Like, he had a good game against Philly on a Thursday night, but look at that Dallas game last week. I'm comparing the 49ers and the Packers.
Oh, I'm like, what?
No, I'm saying they're in the same spot because they're winning games defensively and they can get better offensively.
Yes, okay.
Which is why it's scary, I think, for the rest of the NFC is that they're winning and the offensive mind of the 49ers and the Packers quarterback are their main strengths, and that's not the key reason they're winning.
Well, I think you could also break it up, too, on that point, Dirt. I think you could break this up and you could look at it multiple ways. They've won ugly, they've won convincingly, and they've won in dominant fashion, right? So Cincinnati, LA, Cleveland, dominant fashion. Tampa, Pittsburgh, they won ugly. They lost the turnover battle in that Pittsburgh game, and that Tampa game, they really only won that one because they got two pick sixes off of Jameis. Other than that, you take the 14 points off the board, and they're right there with the Bucs. Yeah. So they've won it when their offense isn't clicking. They've won it when their offense has played really well. Kind of the theme here for them is defense. This is the point. They've given up 10 the last 2 weeks. They haven't given up more than 20 in a game.
Yeah. That's incredible for 2019 NFL football.
Yeah. Especially with all the rules and, you know.
Yeah, it's going to give them a chance. It's almost like the Oregon argument, right? It's going to give you a chance in every game that you play. Defense travels. It can show up week to week. Not going to be perfect every single game, no doubt about it. And Russell Wilson, for example, will be a huge challenge just trying to control him because nobody in the league has been able to yet this year.
Are they the best team in the NFC today as we sit on October 14th?
I will say no. The only reason is the way the Saints are playing without Drew Brees.
So if the Saints played the Niners this week and you think the Saints would win?
With Drew Brees. But they're going to have Drew Brees for the – I mean, as long as he comes back and he's healthy. That, to me, the way they're playing and winning games without their quarterback – That says a lot to me. And so, there's a more of a trust factor there for teams who have been there and they've done it, and the 49ers don't have that yet with this squad.
I would bet the under in that one. But San Francisco gets the win, and now they go to the East Coast. They're at Washington. That dreaded 10 a.m. West Coast to the East Coast type trip, but Washington's a special kind of bad right now. Niners 5-0 for the first time since 1990.
It's fun to have that Seattle-San Francisco rivalry back, man.
It is. It's a good aesthetic to see the blue and the red clashing on there.
Wonder how Richard Sherman, is he going to eat some chicken wings on the field if they win on that Monday night game?
That's right. All right, we got a lot more to get to in the next hour and a half of the show. Don't go anywhere, Dirt and Sprague. We're back with more.
Welcome back in, 133. Get to some baseball stuff. Baseball stuff coming up in crunch time. That was a great game last night in Houston.
Really good game.
Great game. Didn't watch a second of Sunday Night Football because of it. Also, the NLCS has been a bit of a snooze fest, if you will. And the Cardinals have found the reason why it has been a snooze fest. So we'll get to that coming up. Yeah, game three in that series tonight.
Braves would have taken advantage in game four, not blown it.
It's wild to think the Cardinals scored 10 runs in the first inning against the Braves in Game 5, and they have scored, what, one run, I believe, in 18 innings? One run in 18 innings in the NLCS.
Anibal Sanchez is, you know, the best pitcher in baseball history. Didn't you know that?
He's dominant, man. He's lights out, dude. So we'll get to that. Some baseball stuff coming up. Mike Yam's going to join us top of the hour. We had, though, ladies and gentlemen, for the first time this season, a marquee upset in college football.
Yes, we did.
We have been waiting. We have been waiting. For the first time this year, a team that was ranked in the preseason top six has fallen. And that team was Georgia losing at home to South Carolina. Not only losing at home to South Carolina, they lost to a third-string quarterback. Because if you don't know, South Carolina's starter initially, I think he's out for the season. He got hurt earlier. So they're playing Helinski, who is the freshman. He's the future of the program, but he's technically their backup. Helinski got hurt in that game, and their third stringer had to come in and play.
He wasn't supposed to play in that game, by the way. On Tuesday, they were like, Helinski's not going to play this week.
They played him. He ended up getting hurt.
Well, and he was trying to limp around out there for a while.
Just it go
was
Byron
his knee
Leftwich.
That was all swollen up. He couldn't move, but he was still hopping around.
And South Carolina missed a field goal in overtime to win it. They got an interception. They got the ball in
the first
OT.
Overtime.
And the dude shankopotamus kicks it.
It was Inspector Gadget with the glasses.
But that was the Georgia kicker. That's Blankenship.
Blankenship.
He's the one with the thick glasses.
Right.
And then he went shankopotamus in OT number two. So down goes Georgia, the number three team in the country. First marquee upset of the year.
How far would you drop them if you had a vote?
I mean, they have to see. This was the interesting question.
This is a very bad loss.
I was tweeting with people about this on Saturday, and
South
the rankings
Carolina
were out.
Sucks.
Who do you rank higher, Notre Dame or Georgia?
Notre Dame.
Even though Georgia beat Notre Dame?
Screw Georgia. Dude, that's a bad loss.
I know it is.
That's a bad loss.
But you have the head-to-head example there.
Sure. Yeah, I'm still going Notre Dame.
Notre Dame, I believe, is ranked higher than Georgia.
What was that, 3 weeks ago, that game? 2 weeks?
Something like that.
3 weeks?
Yeah, so in the AP poll, I think Georgia, let me pull it up here, I believe they dropped to, like, number 8.
You can't play, I mean, imagine playing that game in the Pac-12 and deciding 10. Who the best team in Pac-12 is.
Right.
Utah lost to USC, and then Washington right. beat USC, but then Washington lost to Cal, but Cal lost to Oregon.
Yeah.
And then what if Oregon loses to USC? We can't play that game. All we can do is take the information we're given and conclude and get an opinion of some sort. And my opinion would be, yes, Georgia beat Notre Dame head-to-head. That's a good win for them. It also wasn't a blowout. That
no,
was a 14-point spread. Notre Dame kept it close on a true road game.
Yeah, it was at Georgia.
And Notre Dame has come close to stubbing their toe, but they haven't stubbed their toe against lesser opponents. You now have against a much, much lesser opponent. South Carolina is not good.
Yeah, that was just the game management, too. I don't know. Did you guys watch that game, especially down the wire
on
Saturday?
I watched almost all of it. I missed the very beginning of it, but
sure.
we turned it on.
I was going back and forth between that and Oklahoma, Texas, and then once Oklahoma kind of built up a lead and I saw Georgia couldn't.
I mean, the management they had at the end of that game, so they, I don't know what they were doing on the final possession. They had the ball at the end of regulation in a tie. Yeah. It was 17-17. And they kept trying to get closer and closer, and then they ended up taking a procedural penalty because they had to rush up to the line of scrimmage, so it ended up kicking them out of field goal range, kind of. But I still would have attempted a field goal there. They ended up taking essentially a sack. It was like a strip play. Fromm didn't even have time to get it off. They didn't even get a Hail Mary attempt at the end of the game. Like, at least try a 50-yarder. You never know what might happen. Maybe it goes in, but worst thing could happen is it misses. So I thought the game management there was bad. And then there was also a play in the overtime, I believe, before South Carolina ended up kicking their field goal, that the play clock was running down, and South Carolina had like a 4th-and-1, and they rushed up to the line of scrimmage, and you knew they weren't going to run a play. It looked like they were almost prepared to take a delay a game and move back, which would have been a terrible decision because the kicker missed the kick in the previous overtime.
Would have been very Will Muschamp.
Right, and then Kirby Smart ran in with like 1 second left on the play clock before South Carolina hiked the ball with his team on defense, and he called a timeout.
Yes, he did.
And they came out with a kicking unit, they kicked the field goal, nothing to see here.
Yeah.
Like, what? The mismanagement at the end of that game, Kirby Smart has had his issues. He was really bad at the end of the Notre Dame game.
I was going to say, Dirt, it's not just this game he's mismanaged at the end there.
He's had some problems, man.
I mean, you can't have he had back-to-back years where he blew a national championship game and then he blew the SEC title game.
He did back-to-back blown games against Bama.
You had the Notre Dame game that almost they came back and won, and then this debacle where you lose to a much less, I mean, they were 24-point favorites going into it. So,
yeesh.
To have this loss, it's just, it's not a good look, and I'm glad. It couldn't have happened to a better conference than the SEC.
No, this just means conference strength, though.
Oh, that's right.
When this
right.
happens
that's
in the Pac-12, right. It's the Pac-12's just eating itself and see the teams aren't elite, but when it happens in the SEC, it's an elite conference.
Where's that person that was texting in, the SEC doesn't lose games like this? And
yeah.
Where's that person today?
Yeah, South Carolina is awful. Don't allow this week to fool you. Muschamp's not a good coach, but they did go in and knock off Georgia. Fromm and that offense was just awful in that football game. Just atrocious from start to finish.
Do you think they have any chance to get back in this playoff?
I mean, if they win out, they'll get back in.
Well, sure, but are you buying the win
out?
No,
I'm not, because you still got to play Florida. And Florida actually showed me a lot. We'll get to that game in a moment. Florida, they got to go to Auburn, and then they would have to play Alabama in the SEC title game.
Or LSU,
and I'm not picking them to win that
game. I just think
right
their offense sucks.
Yeah, their offense is struggling.
It's not good. Fromm.
No doubt.
If you're a fan of a football team that drafts Jake Fromm, are you excited?
No. No.
Or are you nervous it's not going to go well?
He's a slightly better version of Jake Browning.
Yeah,
he
just
kind of winning because
Browning.
He's got a lot of talent around him, and he does enough.
Yeah.
But you never watch him, and you're like, man,
but
he's really good.
That performance helped Herbert's draft status.
Yeah, I'd say so. So that was the first marquee upset of college football. The other big games of the college football weekend, did we have any big takeaways from Oklahoma, Texas? They ended up winning 34-27.
I don't really have any big takeaways outside of...
Texas is better than I thought.
Really? You thought they would get blown out?
I thought they would have a reality check. And
oh, really? Even after their LSU game, huh?
Yeah.
I thought there was, because actually the only negative I thought coming out of that game was Jalen Hurts made a couple of marquee mistakes.
He did. He also made some big plays.
He made some big plays. Well, I'd say CeeDee Lamb was, I mean, he chuck it up and
he crap.
Will make 30 guys miss and score a touchdown.
The first one he got where he broke the tackle, I was like, okay, you know, weird. Right. He did it again.
Yeah, like on the next drive or whatever it was. But yeah, Hurts threw a couple of bad picks. He threw one in the end zone, I think, towards the end of the first half.
Yeah, so that was across his body. That
across his body. You just can't make those kind of mistakes. But we had asked Oklahoma to beat somebody, and they've now beaten somebody. I think both those teams are good. So Oklahoma gets the win. They got the leg up in the Big 12 now with the head-to-head over Texas. And then the other marquee game actually ended up being a really good game. And I saw a funny tweet on it, too, people saying, what world are we living in that now Oregon is winning with defense and LSU is winning with offense? Like, what the hell happened to the simulation and where did we go wrong here? But LSU hung a 42 spot on Florida, and they won 42-28 in Baton Rouge.
They just, you know, that was a closer game. That score would indicate Florida took a lead. LSU came back, and then eventually when they went up two scores, hell of a cover there at the end, because Florida was driving to still make cut it into the deficit.
They had a 4th-and-goal to score to cut it to 7, and the spread was, what, 13.5,
it was 13
I think.
And a half, so Edo and company were really hanging on.
Go Tigers!
Go Tigers!
Look, I'm...
Can we pull his line? I know this is on the spot. He had one before the game with whoever the sideline reporter was. He said, welcome to Death Valley where your opponent come to die, or something like that. Like, your dreams come to die, Death Valley.
I thought Florida played a really good game, and they proved a little bit to me, because I have been a bit of a Florida doubter. I didn't think their first game of the year, and albeit it was the first game, it was a particularly good showing against a bad Miami team. And it feels like every week they've kind of eked a win out. Now, their Auburn game was a little different. They were able to kind of roll away there at the end.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought LSU was going to hammer them. I did. I thought LSU was on a different level. And while they still won by 2 touchdowns, Florida's got some feisty fight in them, and I think it was a godsend that they lost their quarterback to an injury.
Yeah, Trask is playing really good. That was a fun game, and that was, I mean, the only benefit, because I always try and watch things for show-related purposes. Like, we're not going to talk a lot about LSU-Florida, obviously. I mean, it'll be a footnote, so you can talk more about the local teams. That was the only good part about watching Oregon, not having to watch the Oregon State game, was that game was going on at the same time. Yeah. It's like, I don't want to be roped into a game here in the fourth quarter where you got to watch it for the show. I wanted to watch that LSU-Florida game, man. That was awesome.
So given what we know about the teams in college football, the elite, it was a takeaway from the media I just didn't quite get. And it was because Oklahoma was hanging with Texas, some people went, well, that kind of just shows you they're not really that level of elite. And I don't like that opinion.
LSU won a close game over Texas.
I know.
Yeah, it was back and forth. And
but remember, when the Big 12 scores on each other, it's the Big 12 has no defense. When LSU went into Austin and scored whatever it was.
Joe Burrow's a stud, baby.
Everybody talked about how great the LSU offense is. Like, they prop it up a little more. Yeah. And given the best teams we've seen in college football, I think Oklahoma, that was my takeaway. Texas is a good team. I thought they were going in. I didn't know how to feel about that line. I saw kind of both scenarios playing out, and really, that's kind of what it was until the end there with Texas scoring.
Texas Oklahoma was lucky to cover. Oklahoma could have been up 28-3 at the half.
I think Oklahoma's a good team, and any argument against the conference, against them, against having a tight game here or there, I think that's a moot point, and I would put Oklahoma absolutely within the top four of the playoffs.
The interesting part about them is they finally have a defense, which is what they showed on Saturday. They were really good on that
Grinch
side of the ball.
Grinch is going to get hired ASAP.
Yeah, he's going to be a head coach somewhere very, very soon. So there's some college football takeaways. I got a few more college football notes I want to get to in the final hour. An update on our radio host from Knoxville that we talked about on Friday.
He's down.
He's down. He is down. And we also have to ask the fun misery fan base question of who had a worse weekend, Florida State or Nebraska? Us. We'll get to that
or
coming
the state
up.
Of Georgia
or the state of Georgia as a whole in the final hour. I do want to get into some baseball stuff though, as a great game last night in the ALCS, the Yankees and Astros tied at a game apiece. Also, the Cardinals have found the reason that their bats have disappeared. We'll tell you what it is. Crunch time coming up next on The Fan.
The pressure's on.
We have an opportunity to reestablish ourselves, get a big win. Not all is lost.
Who's feeling the heat?
Now we got to go home and make sure that, you know, we take care of business there. Shame on us if we don't.
It's crunch time. A look at the hottest topic in sports. Brought to you by Crunch Fitness. As low as $9.95 per month. No hassle, no pressure, no gimmicks, and no judgments.
Hey, Crunch Time, brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where the trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. I was not at the Glorious House of Games today.
I can't even believe
that is buffoonery.
It's okay.
I ain't having that.
I was there for him. It's okay.
Somebody showed.
It's all right.
Somebody showed.
Solidarity, brother.
Hey, coming up in the final hour, Mike Yam's going to join us, top of the hour.
Oh, I have a very quick thing to say.
Sure.
If you don't watch Righteous Gemstones on HBO.
I haven't started it yet. I got it on the old Diver. Good?
Oh my God. I watched it Friday night after the Duck game.
Uh-huh.
I was laughing so hard.
Good show.
And it's not the direction you think it goes.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. I like that.
Very good.
I also want to watch the... oh, God, what's the Breaking Bad movie? I haven't seen that yet.
El Camino.
That's in my queue.
I'm nervous because I saw my first review that said, why did we waste our time jumping into Breaking Bad world when this movie sucked as bad as it did? And I'm like, oh, please don't be real.
I've seen split reactions, yeah. Some people have enjoyed it and just having the characters back and stuff, and other people say it's not a good way to put a final chapter on things. That's a mixed bag.
I get where those people are coming from. Maybe there's some validity to it, but I think that's what's left me the most nervous about watching is that story. They finished the story. It's behind
over.
In my life.
Right.
Right? Like The Sopranos, it didn't necessarily end. It faded to black.
It did.
And Seinfeld, it just kind of...
It ended the only way it could. It just,
right,
yeah.
But you still left with them still being alive,
right,
and they're going to get out soon. This one was... Game of Thrones kind of left me with this, like wondering what's still going on.
Yeah.
This one ended pretty clearly, but you're adding to it. I hope it's good.
Yeah, any listener reviews are welcome on that one if you watch.
Absolutely.
Let's talk some baseball stuff. Last night, what an awesome game that was. Carlos Correa walked it off. How do we feel about his reaction? That was pretty cool. He just stood. He knew right off the bat, right when he hit it.
Yeah, he knew when he hit it. It's, you know, he instantly looks to the bench. He looks to the crowd. Let me hear it. I loved it. That's what I love about baseball is when guys are willing to just be emotionally, like, be honest with how they're feeling in the moment and show it. versus the guys who bottle it up. Because it's such a double standard in baseball where the hitter does anything and the pitcher's going to get pissed because he pimped it. But then the pitcher does it. And he,
yeah, that's dumb.
He does the whole fist pump thing. I loved it. I thought it was great. And that was a tremendous baseball game last night.
Well, talk about Correa's game, too. I mean, not only did he have the walk-off home run, but he had the defensive play of the game, which was, what, in the top of the sixth or top of the fifth, whenever it was, yep. that he Altuve couldn't field the ground ball. It ricocheted away. The Yankees, rightfully so. I mean, it's smart. You got to capitalize on it with Verlander on the hill. They sent the runner, and Carlos Correa came out of nowhere, picked it up. I saw they had, like, a stat cast on it. And he threw the ball from behind second base at 87 miles per hour. Perfect strike to the catcher, tagged him out. It's just a huge momentum-turning play for him. That was big. And I actually thought, I'll give a tip of the cap, I thought Aaron Boone managed a hell of a ball game. I think so often you get in this time of year and guys just kind of go with the regular season flow of things. And I mean, you've seen that, like Dave Roberts in Game 7 of the World Series is a prime example of that, leaving you Darvish in too long. Like, dude, this is it. This is your season.
Not going to Jensen.
What are you doing? Like, you don't have it tomorrow. Like, you can't just give up a game in a series. Like, James Paxton didn't have it last night. He gave up a run early. In the third inning, he had, I think, one out, and they had two on. Bregman coming up, who already had a hit and a run scored. Like, you could tell the crowd was into it. That game was teetering on the wire, and Paxton didn't have it. Got him out 2 1/3. I don't care if you only throw him 50 pitches. You're gone. Zach Greene came in, I think pitched like 3 shutout innings for him and really stemmed the momentum for Houston. And then you had the 2-run shot from Judge. Just like that, you took the lead. A tip of the cap to Aaron Boone. They didn't win the game, but he managed a hell of a game last night.
I thought he did a pretty good job. I don't know why. I just kind of fully expecting the Yankees to somehow get a win out of that. And that's why I think I was pleasantly surprised, is we have a good series. Washington, St. Louis?
No.
We'll find out tonight at 4:30 if that's going to be a good one. But my gut is not, I'm not leaning towards St. Louis having one there. Strasburg on the bump tonight. I feel like the Nationals have some momentum. At least in this series, it's a very unpredictable outcome. And now you're going to the Bronx, where you could label a million different directions of where the series could go. The Yankees end up winning, sure. Will Houston? I don't know, but I thought that was such a great played ball game last night to go to extras like it did. I saw some people bitching and moaning on Twitter. I'm like, who cares?
About how long it is.
I'm done complaining about the length of sporting events. If they're great, they're great. Whatever. I
don't
want
to watch
theater.
Turn it off. I have to watch it.
Well, you got to let your opinion be known.
It's free entertainment. The beauty, too, of when you get those extra inning games is you never know when the moment's going to come, right? Like in an NFL game or a football game or a basketball game, you can usually, there's kind of a back and forth. You track the score. You get a final shot. You know when that final moment, that big play's coming. With baseball, it's like hockey in that regard. You just don't know. You flip on the TV, bottom of the 11th, I think is when you hit the walk-off, right? First pitch of the inning. Like, you're just sitting there like, all right, here we go, bottom 11th. Oh, hey, game over.
But that's how I felt, though, when he hit it. I was like, it's over now.
It's it. That's all. Okay, that's all. Yeah, no, that was a big win, I think, for the intrigue of that series. We were all, like, that's the matchup of Goliaths that we've been waiting for. And it would have been a bummer to have the Yankees up 2-0 going back to the Bronx. Now you get Gerrit Cole on the hill in Game 3 at Yankee Stadium. Sign me up. I can't wait. The only disappointment there is I think they really screwed up the schedule because that's an afternoon game tomorrow.
I don't understand the thinking on that. Like when you get to the divisional round and you get more teams, okay, but your LCS, you're playing a game at 1?
Well, you have 2 LCS games.
You got them both. So they don't want to have them going head-to-head competing, so they want to have one before the other.
One's at 1, one's at 5.
How about you're smart enough to understand there's far more intrigue from the sports universe in Houston and New York?
Well, these things are set well ahead of time for TV.
I know, but come on.
I like that you, like, Swag, you know, which is why you're talking about this issue. That doesn't make it the smart thing to do, though.
Like, that's going to kill the ratings playing that game at 1 o'clock.
NBA and NFL, like, we're regularly putting the East Coast people out to pasture anyway of saying, hey, we're starting this game at 7 o'clock at night, West Coast time, right? We don't care. Monday Night Football games on the East Coast, those things are done at midnight. We couldn't bump this window up 3 hours and do a 4 or 4:30 and then a 7.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the fact that they don't go NBA and stretch it out where they go every other day, because then the playoffs, in my opinion, take way too long.
I'm with you there.
Yeah, it's good for the NBA ratings because they got a game on in prime time every single night and there's always something to watch.
That's debatable.
Sure, but I think there's a disappointment there of, like, that's an awesome game. There's something about a night game in the ALCS at Yankee Stadium, and it's going to be in the middle of the, or 4 o'clock, I guess. So the end of it will be under the lights at Yankee Stadium, at least. But that's going to hurt the ratings on the West Coast because a lot of people are at work and they can't watch, and you want to keep an eye on that game. So that's kind of a bummer.
I really do hate to admit this.
Well, the other piece is part of the contract was that those games go on FS1 rather than Fox. That's in the contract. That's how it was
really
done
stupid
up.
Contract by them. I hate to admit this to you. It is nice having them there to root against the Yankees.
Oh yeah,
You need them to be kind of involved. I don't
have a villain.
I know people hate to admit this stuff with the teams. Like Dallas is America's team. There's a lot of people who tell you otherwise. It's nice to have the Yankees involved in postseason baseball because I don't hate any other team quite like I hate the New York Yankees.
It's fun to watch them lose.
I can't root for any of these teams.
You can't really? The Nationals, no. You can't. I mean, they beat your Dodgers, no. So maybe that's it.
Swag, the Yankees have won 28 World Championships.
And to be fair, you know, the funny part, too, I saw a tweet this weekend. It was funny. They said, next time a Yankee fan tries to proclaim 27 rings, they actually don't have 27 rings. They only have 26 because the first one they won was so long ago, they got pocket watches.
Oh, so you have 26 rings in a pocket watch?
Yeah.
That's actually kind of badass.
Yeah, pocket watch in year one.
If you wanted a high clip, would you want out of the ring game and be in like chain game?
If you've won enough championship rings,
like
just
Phil
move
Jackson.
On.
Phil Jackson has what? Does Phil Jackson have 10? Does he have 11?
He went six and
he went
six and five, right?
He went six with the Bulls, five with the Lakers, so he's got 11 rings.
I mean, did he win and he's a player?
Did you want one with the Knicks?
Yeah, he won one with the Knicks.
So he's got 12.
He's got 12 rings. If you have 12 rings, do you want 12 rings or do you want 10 rings?
Yeah, like
a watch.
A watch, yeah.
And I don't know what you get.
A jacket, maybe like a Hall of Fame type jacket.
Phil, Phil, I could see Phil with a pocket watch.
I totally could. Hey, check out what time. That's my championship
pocket
watch. Wearing
vests all the time.
Well, no, is the ring the best thing to get to win a championship? Is it really the thing that...
Yeah, I think so.
I think so.
More than like a watch or a chain?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. More universal, you know, the ring. And we're trained to look for the ring now, too.
Yeah, that's, the ring thing.
No,
great.
It is fun. I'm with you. It's fun to watch them lose. In the other series, though, I mean, there just hasn't been much intrigue, as you mentioned, in the NLCS. You had Anibal Sanchez take a no-hitter into the eighth inning of game one, which was crazy.
That was fun to watch.
That was going on Friday night as the Duck game was starting, and it's like, wait, back and forth. I missed the Breland injury because of it, because it was the eighth inning of a no-hitter. Like, I wanted to see that. He gave up the hit. His response was really classy, too. He, like, tipped the cap to the guy who broke it up and, you know, kind of.
I thought that was really cool everybody involved.
Standing ovation.
Yeah.
He deserved that. And then Scherzer, I think, went six innings without allowing a hit or something. I mean, he dominated them too.
So the Cardinals became, God, I hope I'm reading this. The Cardinals became the first team to be no hit six or more innings
in back-to-back,
games in the LCS, I believe.
That's wild. And they are blaming, if you want to know, the baseball. Mike Schilt came out after game one and said, our analytics department is telling us the baseball is not traveling as far anymore, so...
It wasn't in the last round either, but...
They scored 10 runs in the first inning with that bad baseball. So, there you go. There's your recap of the NLCS. You got game three tonight, TBS, 910 ESPN Portland, 4:38 first pitch. How about that random time?
Swag, what was the Dodgers record against the Giants this year? Do you know the regular season?
Probably slightly over 500.
Probably 13-6.
Can we stop bringing up 10-inning first run game, or the first inning 10-run game, please?
Sorry.
God.
Too soon?
You've done it like eight times. I don't need to. I watched it. I know they scored a lot of runs in the first inning of the biggest game of that series.
Scored a lot of runs in that inning. How about that, man? Crunch Time brought to you by Crunch Fitness, where trainers can work with anyone on how to lose weight the correct way and gain strength at the same time. Locally owned and operated with six locations to serve you. We're going to talk with Mike Yam of the Pac-12 Network to start the final hour. He's our go-to guy on Mondays. Recap the entire weekend in the conference and look ahead to the big Oregon-Washington game in the upcoming week. We still haven't really got to the ASU-Washington State game. I kind of wanted to highlight that. Jaden Daniels, how about his performance? We have a MVP poll question I want to ask you guys. Also, an interesting Monday Night Football game. There is a lot to get to in the final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.